but the sky was grey. The wolves are back, they've come to play. I thought I heard your father's...
It is time now for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings at this time, we'll get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger, the editor and publisher of The Timberjay, a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Marshall, thanks for being back.
Well, happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, congratulations to you and your staff. I see you got some awards again this year.
Yes, we did. We received quite a few, which is always nice.
Yeah, so congratulations. You can read more about that at timberjay.com. Let's start off with a story about broadband. Cook, Minnesota, got a border-to-border grant. What does this mean for Cook? What does it mean for the rest of the area?
Well, it means that Cook is in position right now to have a funded project that would bring broadband internet through fiber optic connections to the home to all the residents in the city of Cook, which is a big advance. And this is being made possible, at least in part, by a $311,000 border-to-border broadband development grant, which was announced this week. And that's going to help fund a project which would be led by Paul Bunyan Communications, based in Bemidji. And this project is estimated to cost about $700,000. And, you know, Cook's a city of about 650. So they're talking about a total of just a little over 300 residences, I think, and businesses that would be affected by this. And they had anticipated that actually it would cover quite a few more homes kind of outside of Cook, but, you know, in the general Cook vicinity. But it looks like they're going to have to modify that original plan because of kind of a hiccup that's developed as a result of some action by the Federal Communications Administration. And they have actually awarded funding under the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund to a company that is supposed to bring broadband to all kinds of areas around the country, including a big swath of northeastern Minnesota, including townships surrounding the Cook area. And so because of that, because of these federal dollars that are supposed to be allocated for this money, now the state is currently not providing any of its state border-to-border grant dollars to these communities, mostly rural townships, that are slated to get funding and broadband from a company based in Nevada called LTD Broadband. And they received nearly $312 million, that they've been awarded anyway, to develop broadband throughout Minnesota. And that includes a lot of townships in St. Louis County, Itasca County, all over northeastern Minnesota. And there's a lot of question about whether this company is going to be able to actually do the work that they are signed up to do here. It's a pretty small company from everything we've been able to find out. And they don't have much experience in bringing fiber to the home. So there's a lot of question about whether they're going to actually do this, be able to do this work. And it seems to be, at this point at least, creating a problem for communities that had been developing plans to work with some of those local providers like Paul Bunyan or CTC out of the Brainerd-Baxter area. And I know the city of Tower had been talking with CTC about trying to do a project here in Tower. But now it looks like we may not be able to qualify for any state dollars because a lot of the areas around Tower are also supposed to be served by this federal award. So right now, the view of most folks in this business is it's a mess. And we don't know why there was apparently fairly poor coordination between what was happening at the federal level and what's been happening at the state level. And So we're still trying to get to the bottom of this. We hope to actually do some more reporting on this issue in the next few weeks.
Okay. Sounds complicated.
Well, it is. And unfortunately, it's causing problems right now for extending broadband to rural areas. And certainly know there's a tremendous need.
Yeah, absolutely. If we have learned anything in the pandemic, boy, we've learned that.
That's for sure.
Let's move on to another story. The Range delegation of legislators have sent a letter off to the federal government. What are they concerned about?
Yeah, well, actually, they're reaching out to U.S. Representative Deb Haaland, and she's President Biden's pick for Interior Secretary, and also to Tom Vilsack, who's been tapped to be the Agriculture Secretary. And, of course, as Ag Secretary, Vilsack would oversee the U.S. Forest Service, which, of course, has a lot of input into management of land up here. And the Range delegation is concerned that, you know, that the Interior Secretary, assuming that she's approved by the Senate and also Mr. Vilsack, that they are going to be, you know, communicating and considering some of the interests of the Iron Range delegation as they move forward in developing policy affecting some of the federal lands in this area, particularly the Superior National Forest. And I think there's no doubt that this is showing concern that they have that the Biden administration may, you know, bring back some of the policies that the Obama administration had implemented up here regarding the Twin Metals copper nickel project. And so I think they're trying to at least get their foot in the door in terms of opening some lines of communication with both the Interior Department, which oversees the Bureau of Land Management, which actually has control over federal mineral rights. So they would be dealing with the BLM as well as the Forest Service, which also has authority over mineral development on the Superior. So, you know, kind of a different tack, I think, than was taken by a U.S. Representative or a District Congressman Pete Stauber, who, of course, we had reported recently had circulated a letter to members of Congress that urged Biden to withdraw his nomination of Haaland over her support for green energy investment and her opposition to the Twin Metals project. So so I think, obviously, Representative Stauber did receive quite a bit of criticism for his letter. And I think so the Iron Range delegation decided that we might take a little different approach and have a more respectful letter that is basically seeking to, like I said, open lines of communication. So we'll see what impact it has, if any, but it was certainly worth reporting.
And it includes the newly independent members, Senator Bach and Tomasoni?
Well, it certainly, yes, it includes Senator Tom Bach, who is an independent, although I should mention that David Tomasoni still maintains his DFL label, even though he is caucusing with Senator Bach. So
okay.
He still considers himself a DFL.
Okay. Not to throw a curveball at you, but how long have you been reporting on Twin Metals? Do you have any idea?
Oh, boy. We have been reporting on them for, I would say, close to 20 years.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's move on. As communities figure new ways to celebrate their communities and celebrate artists, Ely Art Walk is going on right now. What's happening there?
Yeah, well, this is kind of a scaled-back version of the Ely Winterfest, which is always the, you know, the biggest winter festival in Ely every year, but this year, of course, with COVID, it's been scaled way back. But things like the Art Walk, which has been a traditional feature of the Winter Festival, can still go on because that involves artists displaying their work in windows of stores in town, and of course they can, you know, folks can just, you know, wander along the streets where in the main commercial district and check out some of the art. If they're interested, they can buy some of the artwork. So it's been a popular thing. It's always attracted a lot of interest. And, you know, even with COVID, that's something that can be done without, you know, incurring much risk. So that's being continued this year as part of the Winterfest. And also, there are still a few snow sculptures, which are in the Whiteside Park in Ely. And those, of course, that park has always been filled in the past with these sculptures. But this year, it's just a few. I think there's like five. But still certainly worth checking out. And I know that there's been some encouragement that people try doing snow sculptures in their yards as well. So if you drive around Ely, you might find a few of those as well.
Yeah, maybe people
and
could
that'll be going on for at least a couple weeks.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be a good safe road trip for people to see what's going on.
For sure.
It's Marshall Helmberger. This has been the Border News Roundup. You can read and see more at timberjay.com. Marshall, stay warm this weekend. We'll check in next week.
All right. Yep. All right. Take care. Expensive lessons are always the best to know. I'm not waiting for the let go. Don't need any of you say so.